a fight. 220 meters long and carrying a battalion of Confederacy Marines apiece, the orbital attack transports technically weren't under his command. Brigadiers Zamorano and Michaels had thrown in with his rebellion long before, though. 8 battalions, 2 brigades. A tiny force to fling against the might of the Confederacy, but it was what he had. 10 ships smaller than the OATs moved around them. Those were his destroyers, speedy little ships that were designed to make high-speed attack runs at ships like his Vigil. 2 missile cruisers flanked the main formation, his snipers that would try to take out destroyers before they closed on the battlecruiser flagship. 4 warp cruisers led the way, their vulnerable drive rings making them the only ships in his rebellion that could outspeed light on their own. Everyone else required the wormholes, and the warp cruisers couldn't carry the battle to come. That would fall on Vigil herself, the 430-meter-long behemoth at the heart of the battlecruiser group. 2 full battlegroups guarded Saul, and while battlegroup Vigil outgunned either of them individually, the fight to come would test them to their limits.
"Battlegroup is in motion," Commander Cameron Allstairs told him quietly. "Estimated time of arrival at EWS is 1600 hours Greenwich Meridian Time, June 5th, 2386.
There was no need for Allstairs to give him the full date, but the weight of the moment was on them all. Only once before had units of the Confederacy Space Fleet turned on their government. The result of that was what Isaac Gallant was going to fix.
"We have confirmation from Archangel," Rihanna Rose told Isaac. "All plans are now in motion, and Archangel has double-confirmed activation of dynamite and their cell."
A cell-based structure made sense to Isaac, but it made the kind of massive, multi-system plan they were executing cumbersome. As Bombardier, he was in the second tier of cells, but he didn't know Archangel's true identity, and all Archangel knew about Bombardier was that they were a battle group commander. That would probably have been enough to get a lot of people killed. The Confederacy only had 26 battle groups, after all. In many senses, though, Dynamite was even more key to their plan than Isaac. Dynamite was a division commander in Earth Fortress Command. There were only 6 of those, and Isaac was pretty sure he knew which one Dynamite was. Dynamite would deliver the EFC to the Rebellion, and almost more importantly, neutralize Liberty. Isaac would back Battlegroup Vigil against any of the Confederacy's other battlecruiser groups, but his force could not fight the Confederacy's dreadnought.
77th Brigade's transports are rendezvousing at EWS, Allstairs reported. Brigadier Zamorano reports the last of her people who are going will be aboard in 20 minutes. Colonel Wynn is retaining command of the station. He gives us 33 minutes to wormhole activation to Saul.
Have they had any problems with the communication lockdown? Isaac asked.
Nothing, Allstairs replied. No questions even.
That seems odd.
That's very odd, the Admiral agreed. The Eridani wormhole station was responsible for all outgoing interstellar communications from the Epsilon Eridani system. It had been silent for over 13 hours. The Rebellion had an excuse and a reason for that, one that should have passed muster, but they hadn't even been asked for it.
Sir?
Rose asked quietly. The word hung in the sudden silence on the flag deck. A moment later, Captain Loretta Gianovi appeared on the computer screen tattooed into Isaac's left forearm. His Italian-born flag captain looked uncomfortable.
I can't put my finger on it, sir, she told him. But something doesn't feel right.
I know, he agreed. He rose from his chair, studying the holographic display. We've already initiated, he told his flag deck crew. We can't abort now. If we do, thousands are going to die for nothing. He shivered. Once Archangel's messages start arriving, half the Confederacy is going up in flames. We can't stop now, he echoed. He studied the position of his fleet.